When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to No Small Roles, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast where there are no small roles, and actually today, no Dungeons or Dragons.
What?
We're not playing Dungeons & Dragons. We're actually playing a one-page RPG published by Darrington Press, created by Marisha Ray, and designed by Grant Howitt, called A Familiar Problem. And all of our wonderful players are going to be playing little magical companions. Yeah. So I have with me Mr. Daryl Bailey.
Hello.
I have Mr. Ben Galpin.
Hello.
Mr. Chris Watts.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Mr. Baby David Knight.
Hi.
I don't think I've ever called any of you Mister.
Mister, yeah,
it's fine.
It feels very formal, doesn't it?
It felt very Reservoir Dogs. I liked it.
Yeah. I don't want to be Mr. Pink. I want to be Mr. Blue.
We're going to sit in a restaurant and discuss the rate of pay for waitresses.
Yeah.
And for any kids listening, Reservoir Dogs is a fun cartoon.
Yes. It's a fun film
dogs.
You can watch with your parents. Yes.
Please don't. Please don't watch
that film, please, kids.
That's a joke.
Listeners, if you haven't listened to our how to play segment, we are attempting to keep these two episodes nice and clean. So if you do have any young humans in your life that you think might enjoy listening to No Small Roles, these are the episodes that will be best to do that if you want to avoid any naughty words. We're on our best behaviour, aren't we, gang?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. There's no Vicky here anyway, so it's Vicky that's the bad influence. It's not me at all.
She's constantly swearing like a sailor, Vicky. Yeah.
I know.
So, are we ready to get a bit more familiar?
Oh, yes.
I don't think these are going to be child friendly.
Let's try.
Let's try.
There might be some heavy edits involved.
Roll the theme tune. Our story begins with Rowana, a familiar and friend of a sprightly 200-year-old gnome sorcerer named Juna Septhorne. Both Juna and Rowana are part of an interesting assortment of adventurers that call themselves the Fate-Marked Five, or the Abracalads, depending on the occasion.
Yes.
The Fate-Marked Five have found themselves in a spot of bother. After purchasing some new items from a travelling salesman named Wester Merriman, the gang have awoken to a robbery. The culprit? A Vulpatinger named Turnip. Or Russell, depending on the occasion. Gaius the Masked Bard, you may have heard of him, purchased this small fey creature from the salesman as a gift for Juna. Hamster-like in appearance, with little buzzing wings and deer-like antlers, Juna was thrilled and enchanted. However, Rowana was suspicious from the off, and she was right to be. Russell put their magical hamster cheeks to good use and robbed all the items bought from Wester, plus some exciting magical items from their artificer, Oren Quill. though the party's monk, Gwendolyn Rose, was ready to kick some bottom, and the warlock fighter, Enkidu, had turned the cart around, the team decided that on second thoughts, their business in Forlost Vale was possibly a little bit more pressing.
There are four spoons.
Yep.
There were four whole spoons.
And the fate of the world besides.
As a compromise, Juna changed Rowana into a hawk and sent her in hot pursuit of the Vulpetinger named Russell. And that's where we pick it up. So, David, you are taking on the role of Rowana for this adventure.
That I am.
She has been turned into a hawk. Vicky did not give us a description of how this particular hawk looked like. Would you like to tell us?
Ooh, yeah, I'm thinking like a hen harrier hawk, which are kind of like mottled brown. They've almost got like owl-like faces.
Ooh.
He says, looking at the pictures. but with like bands of like white and brown along their wings. They look very cool.
They are beautiful. I'm just looking it up now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we will put some pictures somewhere. Or you can Google.
Hen, harrier, hawk. That's the vibe I'm going with, yeah.
So that is the image that the Abracalads see as she soars off down in a southwesterly direction. Hopefully, she's hoping in the right direction of Russell. Now, she's using her connection to the Fae, being a Fae creature herself, mm-hmm. of sorts, to kind of help her track down Russell. She's been flying for 24 hours.
Oh, exhausted.
And absolutely exhausted. Obviously has a little break, you know.
Catch a mouse or two.
Catch a mouse or two. Little snack.
Mouse burger.
Keep things interesting. But yeah, 24 hours have passed. It is the morning. And she's approaching what seems to be a small village. This is where the track and the feeling of the Fae starts to get a little bit muddied. There are other presences around, and it's harder to actually see what's going on. So you've basically got kind of a road ahead of you. There's forest either side, and you can see the village in the distance. Now, you think you can sense some Fae presence coming from a ditch by the side of the road. And you think you can hear a voice. Ben, what's that noise is that voice making?
So there is a voice coming from the ditch going,
"Help! Help! Goodness, what on earth has happened? Oh my goodness! Oh no! Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear!"
And there is a creature in the ditch.
Rowana, would you like to get closer?
Yeah, if there's a tree fairly nearby. I don't want to get so close, but I kind of want to like sit above the ditch a little bit and look in to get a better view of exactly what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. And Ben, would you like to roll on the species chart to find out exactly what Rowana sees?
Okay, here we go. You see a lizard.
Yes.
In the ditch. what sort of lizard shall we have?
Gecko.
Yeah,
sure. There's a fairly substantially sized gecko, larger than other big geckos.
Like
Ben Google's geckos.
It is Pascal in Tangled a gecko?
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
That's adorable, be it Pascal.
Let me just Google Pascal.
I think he's a chameleon. Is he a chameleon?
Oh, is he a chameleon?
Oh.
That's a type of lizard.
He's a chameleon. Can I be a chameleon?
Yes, I will allow it.
Ooh.
I will be a chameleon, please.
And have you gotten a handle on how to camouflage yourself yet? No. Okay, so
absolutely no idea.
Rowana can still see you.
Oh, yeah. There is a brightly coloured chameleon in a ditch that is like flashing multiple different colours. None of them match space that this chameleon has found himself in at all.
Help! Help! What on earth is going on? Oh, goodness. Oh, dear. Oh, no. Oh, no, this won't do at all. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, help!
Is there anything around this chameleon at all? Or is it just a chameleon in a ditch?
It's a chameleon in a ditch. I'd say if you want to get a little closer and roll, can you roll a clever check for me?
Ooh, clever. I get plus nothing to clever, so it's going to be a straight roll. But yeah, I'll hop down a little bit and get a closer look. Oh, I rolled a 9.
Okay, very
which is
nice.
Out of 10. So if anyone's going, 9 isn't very high. It's a D10. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we're rolling with D10s. Okay, so you've got a 9. Very nice. So as you kind of creep a little bit closer, you notice that the near where this ever-changing chameleon is, there are some cart marks. Seems like a cart has stayed in this area for a little time. There are some footprints. There are some bits of kind of glitter, little bits of thread. That seems like something was occurring here. Some hustle and bustle.
I'm going to hop down off of the branches of the tree, right onto the side of the ditch. So there's still a little bit of a distance between me and this chameleon, but I'll just sort of sit there and stare at it for a moment, see how it reacts.
I think the chameleon, seeing a hen harrier hawk sitting nearby, starts desperately flapping his chameleon arms and jumping like he's trying to take off.
No, come on, go. No, if I, oh, what? No lift. Oh, help. Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Is everything okay?
No, everything's not all right. Who are you? What? Do you leave me alone.
Just, you're not acting much like a chameleon.
What? Is that what I am? What? Oh, goodness. Oh, look at this tail. Oh, no. Where are the wings? Hang on. Wings.
And he starts going around in circles looking for his wings.
Hey, it's just, take a deep breath. It's okay. Just deep breaths. We've all been there, changed forms many times. It takes a short moment to get used to each time, so.
What? You've changed what? Before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I used to be an elf, so here we are.
What? You used to be an elf? What? What happened to you? Did you get caught in a flash?
You could say that, sure.
Right, okay.
Now, this conversation has been, as Ben's character has been trying to flap as strong as they can, this harrier hawk kind of curiously looking into the ditch, it's a bit of a commotion, and it has caught the eye of two other creatures coming from the village, soaring in the sky. You see, well, Daryl, what do you see?
You see a great horned owl. This variation of great owl is more akin, you can call it like a tiger owl. It's got reddish brown colouring around its eyes, and framing that is like a black outline. Its ears are coloured the same way, and the rest of its body is a mixture of dark brown and reddish brown eyes. And it has a monocle over its left eye and a mortarboard on its head and a small black cloak around its neck as it circles the area. Oh, it ever seems quite lively down there. Oh, it's quite uncommon to see so many speaking animals drawn together in one place. Hello there. Hello.
Hi.
as we've seen you kind of start to say hello, there is another creature coming by foot who has been following you. Curious a bit about what's been going on, where you've just come from. And Chris, would you like to describe your character?
I think I'll describe how they sound before how they look. So as you've been flying, Daryl, you've just been hearing every now and then a little bit of like a... almost like an animal trying to mimic birdsong. as is the want with cats. But then has, you know, beaded and weaved its way through the long grass until eventually sort of stumbling upon this scene. You see a black cat with bright green eyes, flicking tail, and a demeanour of authority and oozing charisma. Ooh. A cat that you want to go and pet straight away if you are a human.
I definitely do not want to pet the cat.
Oh, no, yes. And the problem is the cat immediately has, like, taken, like, stock of the scene and is now looking at the gecko and is just
chameleon,
opening its mouth just a little bit.
Oh, no. No, no.
And as that mouth slowly starts to open, that's where you can hear this calling from above from the owl.
With this owl above, a sudden cat approaching, I'm very much going to swoop over to the chameleon and just grab it in one talon.
Is that what this feels like? Oh no!
I just say, hey, I really don't want to alarm you, but there's a lot of things here that could eat you right now, so if you just want to jump on my back or crawl up my arm or something, then okay, we can get flying, okay? Just before we decide whether or not we're surrounded by friends, okay?
Okay!
As he does that, can I make a pounce for the gecko? For the chameleon?
Oh!
Yes, you can. Roll a fierce check for me, Chris. And Ben, can you please just roll a straight D10 for me?
Straight D10?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh!
Okay, I rolled a 2.
10.
10.
Natural okay. 10.
Okay.
Natural so, 10, yeah. Natural 10. Ben,
you do not take a stress point.
Yes!
At this point. However, the very pettable looking black cat takes a dive and tumbles into the ditch and is sprawled in a slightly ungainly fashion.
Yep.
Brushing off the dust or gaining it, my friend.
You fiends! That was mine to have! That lizard is mine, and I want it back!
I'm scurrying up Rowana's back.
Okay, everybody, we just need to calm down a little bit. Let's just take a step back. Hello, everybody. Okay. What's happening?
You all can talk?
Yeah.
This is pawsome.
What is the do animals normally talk? What is the world we live in where, like, us as animals, is this really unusual? Gosh.
I think for animals to be able to talk to different species, perhaps.
Yeah.
But, you're all familiars. You don't necessarily meet as many familiars. I'd say... Yes. Ben, within your adventuring troop, your animal probably has spoken to, for example, rats quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say that Daryl's character will have met plenty of other familiars that he would know. But yeah, I think...
But it's unusual to find a whole load of...
Yeah, a whole bunch of familiars without their adventurers.
Yeah.
And also, I'd say definitely for Chris's character, a bit more sheltered. So maybe doesn't meet as many talking animals as much.
How came you all by this place? I presumed that I was just chasing a quarry, but clearly I've been greeted by a number of my fellow species of familiars and companions of magical beings. Good day. What be your names?
Yes, I'm very powerful and important, and you definitely can't eat me.
My good friend, I apologize profusely. I thought you were just a morsel that I was going to devour, but that's absolutely fine. What's your name?
My name is Richard.
Ah, Richard. Richard! Oh, you sound delicious. It's so sad. But yes, my friend, you with the wings. Yes, yes, you up there who's laughing away. The owl? What's your name?
Owl. Greetings and good day. My name is Clarence.
Ah, a marvellous name. And I presume you do not know the other bird creature just there, the hawk? Who be you be? Good sir or lady. Gender I cannot determine, for I am merely a cat.
Hi, I'm Ruana. I'm Ruana. She, her pronouns. I just came upon this chameleon here who was acting very strange and talking. So that's... have any of you seen a big cart go by looking for somebody called Weston Merriman?
Oh.
Have we?
I believe I have.
Oh.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Oh, there was a wagon. And around the wagon was a small crowd, and there was a big person.
Okay.
Very brightly dressed. Dressed like this.
And Richard attempts to turn himself into the colour of the person he saw, and probably completely fails. Oh. Turns a bright pink.
Like, no, not like, no.
I'm not looking for a pink person. More of like a greenish?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay,
that was good. The colour,
I think, Grace.
Okay,
I'm
then maybe...
That's who I saw? Yeah.
maybe they're nearby. Okay.
Yes. Daryl and Chris, in the little bit of information I sent you, on your way out of the town, you both saw a carriage coming in that is fitting this description.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Memory seems to come slowly in my dotage. I seem to remember a carriage with a rider, an elf fellow with a big feather hat of some sort. Is that what you are looking for, my hawkish friend?
Yeah, that's, I think so. They've stolen some things from some friends of mine, so I was just sent to find them, possibly retrieve it, but mostly just location.
What have they stolen?
To be honest, I didn't keep a complete list, but lots of things.
A duck?
No.
Okay.
No, didn't steal a duck.
Right.
They stole some things from you, you say?
Yeah, that's right.
And are your friends human companions, and you, as familiar as you are expected to retrieve them back single-wingedly, I presume?
Yeah, kind of. More like just like recon. There was a lot of stuff stolen, so I'm not sure I'd be able
Scout
to get it back. Exactly. Like, some humans, I'm particularly attached to a gnomish lady, myself.
My friend, I saw the wagon entering the village, from which I am a resident, a proud and famous resident, and I must say it's bustling with business there. If you're wishing to seek this wagon, I may help you to procure this wagon, and perhaps if you wish to steal back the things that you are looking for.
Ah, I'd greatly appreciate the help, yeah.
My one request is that you have food. Do you have food? Preferably of the fish
Richard,
persuasion.
Richard really kind of like digs in on the back of Ruana. Like,
how? Mind the feathers. No, sorry. Not food on me, but we can try to find some, if that's what you want.
Food?
Between our hawkish friend and my keen eyes, I'm sure we can procure some amenable prey on the way to where you can assist our feathered friend.
Yeah, we'll go for a little hunt.
Excellent! I think hunting in the pack is always more successful.
It is.
And I think the chance of working with three other familiars is phenomenal. And I can't wait.
Yeah, this is strange, right?
It's one for the history books or for the adventure.
Okay, so well, it's lovely to meet you all. So which way do we go?
Did I see which way the carriage went?
You saw it heading into the village.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So both have you all said your names yet?
Have we asked
the cat?
The cat's
the cat
their
has
name,
not.
Yeah. I'm not sure we have.
What do we call you as we're
Yeah. Yes, my friend. What is your name?
Other than Dangerous.
I am called Chester Eagleton. And it is a pleasure
Chester
to meet...
Eagleton.
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 It is a proud family name that should not be shamed, unlike some people who I know. I have other nicknames of a more demeaning manner, but I shall not partake in sharing them with you today. But I am the proud owner of the name Chester Eagleton.
Eagleton.
Well, it's Eagleton. Lovely to meet you, Chester.
Pleasure.
Yes. Nice to meet you at a distance.
So both Chester Eagleton and Clarence will have a idea that there's a bit of a something going on in the centre of the village on the village green. And as you've been on the side of the road in this kind of ditch area, you have noticed several kind of carts go past, some with rowdy merrymakers, some with lots of baked goods, and in fact a rather enticing looking fish cart, probably bringing in a shipment from Lake Ira. As you are in, for our listeners to give them an idea, we're kind of on the border of Twain Tide, a little bit further north from Vernock Rise. So, this little village has a lot going on, it seems, today. Lots of preparations are happening. So you can make the logical leap that perhaps the wagon has gone to join in with these festivities.
There's a chance we could spot your wagon in amongst the lively activity happening today in the town. I say we should head in this direction and maybe spot a nice open fish to swoop in on for dinner.
Yes.
That sounds ideal.
Excellent.
Clarence takes the disguise.
Wonderful. So, as those that can fly...
Richard flaps his arms.
Yes. is anybody giving our young Richard a lift, or is Richard, are you going by foot?
If.
Oh, and Eagle as well. Sorry, I forgot you weren't flying.
Chester, so, yeah. Please.
Chester, sorry. Yes, how are you transporting yourselves?
I mean, I'm happy to give Richard a lift if he's still up on my back.
If Ruana will give me a lift, Richard will take the lift. Mm. And then we'll backseat fly the whole journey.
Yeah. Nice. Clarice will fly lower to the ground to keep Chester company.
Lovely. So yeah, as you start to get closer to the village, you can really start to feel the hubbub of stuff going on. It's a big event. It's a personal event. There is bunting all around the place. It's of kind of sunset colours. So you've got reds, oranges, yellows. People are putting up flower garlands all over the place. People are running around halfway through getting their hair ready. You see people going places with dresses. It's a big event. And the closer you're getting, the more danger there is to you as creatures, especially to Chester, who is on the ground. Of course, you are a cat and you're very lithe and usually able to, you know, get in and out of people. But this is usually a very sleepy village and a lot more relaxed, whereas there are a lot more carts, a lot more going on. So can I get a quick check from you just to check that you're not getting trampled?
As Ruana's flying around the bunting, Richard's just going, mind the bunting, you have to go below that, come on.
Yeah, I can fly, thank you.
That's a 7.
A 7, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you manage to avoid getting trampled by any of the fast feet going around. Those who are flying ahead, you can see that everything seems to be culminating on the village green. Would you like to go in and take a closer look?
Yeah.
Or is there anything in particular you're looking for?
Clarence is trying to see if he can differentiate between the carts and if he can see the fellow with the very distinct hat.
Mm.
Roll a clever roll for me.
And Ruana's going to sort of do a much higher like swoop over the whole thing just to see, yeah, if she recognises any of the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
11.
11.
Oh, 11.
I got a 3.
Okay. So, Clarence, you have very keen eyes and having a good sweep of things, you cannot see a wagon that you think matches this description at the moment, but there is a lot of movement. There's a lot going on at the village. So perhaps be tempted to get in and have a bit of a closer look. Ruana, you don't see anything. You get distracted by the fish cart as there's been so much talk about that and you start concentrating on that one.
It does look really tasty. Maybe just a small bite of fish.
Is she gonna?
She swoops down.
Is she gonna swoop down?
I'm gonna go for a grab a, I don't know, just like a little herring or something. If there's any of those like smaller fishes in amongst it all,
I'm going to let you decide whether you want this to be. Are you doing it quickly, slyly, or fiercely?
Oh, quickly. I think this is almost like a predatory dive into the stall and off again.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And I have a secondary request that can Richard try and reach out at the same time and grab a small fish?
Yes. I will say that's going to be a sly check for you, yeah. Richard.
So I got a 9 with my quick check.
Okay. Yeah. You get that herring.
Oh, yeah.
6 for a sly.
You get like kind of a handful of scales.
Oh.
As Ruana swoops down, you kind of like stick your hand out and just like scoop up some scales that are very fishy.
I think Richard goes to like put the scales in his mouth, then his son, he goes,
this isn't like normal fish. I don't want to eat this. What's this?
And it's like...
Now, I've been a great many forms in my life, and I have discovered that not every form is fit for every food.
Oh.
So, I don't know if this is your first time being a chameleon, but maybe go for more, like, vegetables.
What?
And plant life.
Oh, no. Plants?
Yeah. Oh. Fruit, maybe. Or bugs.
Insects are a big game for chameleons around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Insects.
Chester's going to say as he's like making a beeline for the fishmonger.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, Ruana's going to kind of like perch down on like a roof somewhere that's over like nearby the fishmonger so that the others can join in, start nibbling her herring.
Chester, are you doing this fearlessly, slyly, or quickly?
I am doing this fearlessly, but what I'm doing is I am making the most adorable, like, meowing sounds. I'm, like, right against the leg of, like, the fishmonger and just looking up very eagerly to try and persuade him to, like, give us a little fish.
Okay, I'm going to call this a clever check in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Really loudly as well. That's a 4.
The fishmonger looks at, get out of here, what are you doing? Get off, yeah, get out of here.
So,
with that.
And we'll like slunk back under the wagon of the fishmonger.
Yeah. The fishmonger is now on high alert, having had a falcon swoop down. There is some weird kind of trail left in one of his fishes, and now this cat's come up and started giving him bother. So he's started sharpening one of his knives.
I cast summon hole underneath the fish cart.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Bringing out the pocket magic.
Roll initiative.
So it's about a foot or so across. What's a foot? It's like an actual foot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 12 inches. It's a third of a meter.
Okay. So what I'm going to say is that just... wait a minute. Where exactly do you want to place it?
Like on the underside of the cart.
Okay. So the cart...
Oh, so stuff will fall through it.
Ah, on the actual wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm with you. Okay. Yeah. So you... please mark down that you have used that pocket magic. As just as this fishmonger's sharpening his knife, and just like, oh, bloody cat. He looks at his cart, his everything he's got out, and just poof, and all the fish starts to go...
Oh, gross.
Splattering down through the middle. I mean, he's still got the fish around the edges, but the middle is just like a nice circular foot's worth of fish has just splattered on down to below the cart.
I take a particular tasty morsel and I scarper out of there.
Give me a quick check for that, please. To avoid the knife of the fishmonger.
Eight.
Ooh. Eight. Yes, you do. The fishmonger sees you dash on in. He is very annoyed right now. Oi, come here, come here. And he's just, in his anger,
Yo.
Throws his knife at you, which narrowly misses you. I'd say you lose a quarter of a whisker.
As I'm running away, I'll go, which translates to, I'm going to take that personally.
Yes. So where does Chester run with his fish?
Well, I think he spots the hawk that's like plopped itself on top of like one of the nearby houses and just like sort of makes a beeline for that house, puts it in a little safe hidey hole, and then just with a little bit of pouncing back and forth goes up onto the house and goes, well done, that was excellent distraction, good fellow. And I gotta say, I love a bit of adventure, so yes, I will help you find your cart.
How did you do that with the hole?
Well, you know, we've got our tricks, haven't we? And I've learnt a few from, you know, my pet. So that's how we learn these things, you know, as familiars. Have you got a pet?
Who is your pet? Who is your pet?
Who's my pet?
Yes.
Well, I am companion and friend of Domino, the great wizard of this place, of this village.
Ah.
Do I hear that? Am I still flying around checking for the car?
I could say I think you've done your swoop and you've noticed everybody kind of settling down on this roof. So if you'd like to have joined, you can.
Yeah. Ah, Chester, did I hear you say you are the familiar of the great mage Domino?
Yes, he's my pet. He's the person who, you know, I indulge and I look after and things like that. But of course, I'm very well respected in his home and everyone treats me with the utmost respect, and no one like child minds me or demeans me or anything like that at all. And that's not what happens there. I run the show.
Oh, a great many things now make sense. For a wizard of Domino's prestige to be kept by such a grand and prestigious familiar is truly an honor to be in your presence, Chester. You must be a cat of some renown and accomplishment. I saw the little trick from above with the magic. You really are.
Well, you know, Clarence, celebrity is as celebrity does. That's all I can say. You're making me very feline complimented. I'm very feline complimented.
It is well earned, I am sure.
You're feline complimented, yeah.
Yes. So, Ruana, have you seen your cart anywhere?
No, it's not round here. No. Do you think your pet Domino could help in any way?
The shop is closed for the day, I assume. I went by earlier.
Yes, his shop is closed. He's a musician as well. He loves to play the violin and fiddles and various things. I believe the event in town is a wedding.
Duh.
A wedding of sorts, and I think he's busying himself with that when he's not obviously looking after me and caring for me and being my butler. So, yes, we could go and try and find him.
Well, in fact, at this moment, you see a wizard in deep blue robes with deep blue twinkly eyes, a sharp nose, and overly expressive faces as he chats rather enthusiastically with his three beautiful daughters who are all carrying boxes beside him. They have dark hazel hair, all smiling brightly. They have their hair up in rags as it seems like they're still getting ready for the day. They're carrying boxes of cakes. And you can see this wizard in the blue robes carrying his instrument and his music stand as they're going to set up in the centre of the green, where there are several chairs set out already.
Chester immediately, when he sees this, just drops onto his belly and tries to make himself as still as possible.
Oh, Chester, whatever is the matter, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I just would rather like my own freedom right now.
Yeah, I understand perfectly. Sometimes we need to let our pets roam free, you know, explore their own freedom. What is, you know, it doesn't do well to be kept all of the time, I understand.
No, I let them go out whenever they want, really, and that's absolutely fine. And, you know, that keeps them very happy and entertained.
Do you not worry they'll get into trouble without you around?
Well, you
must understand, Richard. Domino is a wizard of great renown. I'm sure they are capable of looking after themselves.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Goodness.
Isn't that right, Chester? And then his head will just, like, turn like 90 degrees.
well, my pet is fine. It's more his three daughters. They are very doting on me, as you know. They are also my pets, and they're a little bit too doty, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Ah, yes.
I see. And he dressed his monocle. Still looking at Chester.
Well, I mean, they pick me up. They try and do paintings of me when I don't want to. And, you know, I run the house. I'm in charge there. And they really shouldn't be doing that. But they want to play with me and hold me and stroke me and chase after me. And it's a little bit overwhelming, if I'm honest with you. I just want my freedom sometimes.
Such a burden to be such an adorable and beautiful creature to be adored by children. The pressure. Oh, unimaginable. What a stuffy thing to endure. My friends, I have something of an idea. Whilst Chester understandably stays here for the sake of his own safety, shall we descend downwards to Domino and speak with him and inquire further about this carriage?
Also, this pet of yours, Chester, is a powerful pet with magical abilities.
Yes, I believe so.
Mm. Transformational abilities, perchance.
Yes, I imagine so as well. Although he seems to be clocking off today.
Right.
I don't know if he's up for business of magicking or whatever, but maybe he does know where this cart is. If we can get to him, maybe we could persuade him, but I'm happy to help with this adventure indeed. That's my passion, these adventures and thrills. But if we can just avoid the daughters. Otherwise, I will never, ever be able to, like, disappear and do my own business for the rest of the day, evening, time.
I see, we must keep you free.
Are they particularly keen on cats, or would an owl distract them enough?
No, I think it's just this black cat in particular. For some reason, they're obsessed with me.
Such a burden. Must be terrible.
And it's almost in the... You're hearing all the chatter and the hubbub. Things are really starting to take shape on the village green. People are running around and... you start to hear different voices, and you do hear on the wind. Has anybody seen Iggy? Jenny? Have you seen Iggy? Where is he? And that starts to just float up, and they start calling Iggy, Iggy, Iggy.
I'll immediately go, and then immediately put my hands over my mouth.
Can you all roll a sly check for me to see if they manage to avoid seeing you up on the roof?
not distinguishable at all, the owl Ooh. Wearing clothes.
Then we've got an owl, a falcon, a black cat and a chameleon all sat perching on a roof with some fish.
A chameleon has had a rare moment of blending in and has managed to actually colour himself the colour of a roof tile briefly. Because I rolled an unnatural 10.
Ooh.
Hell yeah. Nice. Very nice.
Same. I think Clarence was fixing his mortarboard because he got a 4. He's distracted, preoccupied with his appearance.
Okay.
I got a 10 as well. I feel like, yeah, Ruana is laid down, almost blending her like mottled brown into the roof around Richard.
Yeah. I got an 8, so I presume he just instinctively just like pounced backwards and is sort of half hanging off the back of the other side of the house.
Marvelous. That sounds good. So yeah, so the girls are searching around. They do notice a big ruffle of feathers on the roof, but that's the thing that it just kind of distracts them because it's an owl with a mortarboard and a monocle. So they're more transfixed on that. And one of them does, the kind of slightly shorter one does look and go, "Oh, look how cute that owl is. Oh my goodness, have you seen it? Oh, I just want to give it a little squish and a little cuddle and oh, it's so cute. Oh, but we really must find Iggy." And so off the girls go in search of Iggy, but with a new target for cuddling. Clarence the owl.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. If this critter-themed two-parter is your first experience of No Small Roles, welcome and thank you for joining us. This was my very first time in the GM seat, and I absolutely loved running a familiar problem. Now, if you're curious to hear the incredible DM skills of the wonderful David Knight in our binge-worthy main campaign, we suggest listening up to the end of episode 8 at least and seeing how you feel about the show from there. You'll see we have a handy recap for episodes 1 to 5 if you want a head start. Of course, if you're a regular listener, you'll be thrilled to know that episode 79 will be making its way to your earholes at the start of November. If you have any questions or thoughts you'd like to share with us as you listen to this wholesome adventure, you can find us on X and Instagram at No Small Roles. Simply search No Small Roles on Facebook, and our Discord link can be found in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show so far, it would mean the world to me and the team if you take a moment to rate us 5 stars on Spotify and write us a little review on iTunes, Podchaser, or Podcast Addict. And of course, nothing quite beats word of mouth, so please spread the word to your friends, family, and strangers on the internet. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the story.
"I believe the coast may be clear, Master Iggy."
"It's Chester and Iggleton, and it is a proud name of great heritage."
"I'm understanding you perfectly clear, my friend."
So, right, Clarence, they kind of took a small liking to you just now as well. How would you feel about being a big old distraction for us?
"I would be absolutely delighted. Oh, I must sympathize with Master Iggleton's situation. My own owner, of a similar age to the young girls down there, seems to not have the same regard for my own personage, so I would love the chance to be adored by a much more admiring crowd. What is it you desire?"
"Well, I think if you can keep the girls away, then Richard and Chester and I can make our way down to Domino and see if he can help us in any way."
"Sounds like an idea. I should be off at once."
Woo!
And he and he like dives down, like tucks his wings and like whoosh, like a sparrow almost. Sparrow dives and spreads his wings and flutters his
cape. That is one majestic owl.
You find the three sisters. They are looking under carts. They've noticed what's gone on with the fish cart, and one of them has purchased a fish for Iggy as a treat for him later. And they are looking around, seeing what they can find. There's also a ribbon stall that's nearby with various different bits of haberdashery and bells. So that's whereabouts you find them, Clarence. What are you doing to try and encourage them to come even further towards you?
So Clarence will take his mortarboard off with his wings.
Yes, I was gonna say that.
and he'll toss it up into the air, and he's gonna fly up and try to catch it with his head. And like kind of like do a loop-de-loop and land back where he started.
Okay, please give me a... I'm going to call that what could be work well as a kind of a performance check. Let's call that a sly check.
Damn it!
Because it's kind of a trick. It's kind of...
Natural 10.
Hey. Very nice. Whoa. So you perform, as you said, with aplomb, and the girls, as they start to catch their eye, start cheering and clapping and going, "Oh my goodness, Fiona, look how cute he is. Oh, do you think Daddy would let us have him as well? Oh, I think that him and Iggy would get on so well. The owl and the pussycat. Oh my gosh. So cute. Oh yes, Anna. Anna, that would be lovely. They all sound exactly the same for some reason. Yes, Anna, that would be so good. Oh, look, look. Let's buy him a little ribbon." And so Jenny goes and buys a ribbon to match the mortarboard, and she then tries to coax you. They break off a little bit of the fish that they bought for Iggy to kind of try and coax you to come a bit closer.
I play coy, and instead of like flapping over to them showing my intelligence, I'm just going to hop kind of like a little bit by bit, like kind of tentatively turning my head a little bit regarding them, and then just little by little flap over to them.
The little hops melt the sisters. They are literal messes. They're like, I want to cry. It's so adorable. I need, come here. And then as the closer you get, they tie this little ribbon round his neck very gently, mm-hmm. If you're allowing them to.
Yeah.
And are giving him a nice bow. And what colour is your mortarboard?
Oh, it's black and gold.
Okay, so this is a golden bow that they have just tied around to match with your beautiful mortarboard. And they are just... They're starting to like get a bit closer, give you little scritches, and just giving you so much attention and feeding you little bits of this fish. It doesn't seem like there's probably going to be any left for Iggy.
Oh,
because they're so happy to feed it to you right now and give you all the love. Although occasionally they look up to see if Iggy, but they are so engrossed in you. Oh. So whilst this distraction is taking place, the other three, what is the plan?
Okay, Iggy. Chester. Would you like to introduce us to your... It feels weird that you call him a pet. I'm just going to say that now. It just feels a bit weird, but to Domino, your companion?
Fair enough. Okay. As long as he's all right with me not being in the house. yes, that I guess should be fine. And Richard, if
yes.
you seem like you've got a quarry about something, about, is it changing? Are you happy being a chameleon?
Is that what I am? Oh, no, I shouldn't be this at all. No, absolutely not. I need to change back. Otherwise, how on earth am I going to get back?
Back to what exactly?
The big town, the big place.
But what were you?
I was a majestic falcon.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, yes. It was more than nice. It was everything. It was flight, power, death to small creatures.
Oh my gosh. It does feel good to be in this form. I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
My gosh, this tale sounds so fascinating. It sounds like it would be upsetting to unresolve this. Let's go forward and maybe my friend Domino can help you.
Yes. Well, we either need to find this pet of yours and get him to turn me back, or find the magic stick that did this.
Oh, very well. Might be a wand, perhaps.
Oh, is the thing. Yes. Wand. Yes. The feather hat person had a magic stick. They waved it, and look what happened.
Oh no.
I'm just going to lean over to Rowan and just go, I don't think he's been the familiar for very long.
I'm getting that impression, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bit slow on the uptake. But anyway, and I will lead the pack and sleuth through the crowd. Just to check, is Domino near the fishmonger?
Yes, the fishmonger is right in the path on your way to Domino. Oh, no. As you see Domino tuning up his violin in the distance as other musicians start to join him, your path ahead of you is the cake cart, the fish cart, and the fruit cart. All getting ready. There is also still the hustling and bustling. So we are first of all to get past the cake cart, where we have a lot going on. There's a lot of a crowd there, so we're going to try and avoid getting trampled on. So can you all please roll a sly check for me to not get trampled?
I'm still with the girls, aren't I?
Yes.
Cool.
I'll say that Richard is going alone for a little bit and is testing out his chameleon feet to see.
That's a 10 from me. As a cat, I get a +2 for sly.
Very nice.
That was a 10 for me as well. I'm wondering how much I'm flying low and more flying above the
cakes. I wonder if there's some concern for your new chameleon friend who's still finding his feet. So I can imagine you don't want to go too far away from him.
Yeah, exactly. Flying slowly, but keeping an eye.
You're right to be concerned, because Richard rolled a 1.
No!
Oh,
no!
Okay.
Return of 2.
Please take a stress point.
I'm taking a stress point. My stress is 1.
Your stress is 1. So if you roll, let me just clarify the rules on stress. So when you next roll a die to resolve an action, and each time, if you roll equal to or under your stress, you will go wild. So at the moment, you need to roll a 1 to break. So... okay. Start keeping an eye on that.
Keeping an eye.
Okay, so, the feet are everywhere. They're trampling around. Somebody steps on your tail.
Why is this thing here? Why is this? Oh, goodness. What on earth is the point of that? Ow! Oof!
Yeah. And so, Ruana has been quite close to you, trying to keep things less stressful for you. So, kind of, what would you do, maybe, Ruana, to try and kind of help save a little bit?
So that I'm not swooping down between legs, I'm going to kind of out to Chester to see if Chester can dash through the crowd to get over to Richard.
I'll hear that and double back and go, my good fellow, okay, just rather than keeping it very static, try a little left right motion. It's all about balance, you see.
I don't know how do any of you cope down here on the floor.
Okay, but what you're doing right now just looks like you've pooed yourself, so just try loosey-goosey, go with the flow,
Oh my gosh.
Richard will try and loosey-goosey like a chameleon attempting to be a cat through the crowd.
Humans, elves, and dwarves, they love a good flowing leg, a flowing tail. Just go with it, they love it.
Richard is very uptight and is attempting to sort of slink. Oh no. Through past feet.
As the attempting to slink gets you out of the overly crowded cake area, cake is very popular, you then have the next challenge of the fish cart. Now, the fishmonger is red. He is very, very angry.
Oh, no.
He has lost a lot of good fish. He has sharpened several knives, and he is keeping an eye out for a very... now his arch nemesis as a cat, and he's grumbling. Never liked cats anyway. That's why I like fish. I mean, I don't know.
the backstory for the fishmonger. Yeah.
The inverse of cats.
Yes. Deepest lore.
The opposite to cat is
therefore...
fish.
I will become.
Therefore, I'll be a fishmonger.
Yeah, because he didn't want the cats to have the fish, so he's taken it for other people.
There you go.
Oh,
he's claiming it back for the people.
Yeah.
A real Robin Hood story there. Oh my gosh.
Now, obviously, the only way is past the fishmonger cart, as there are. Lots that was starting to crowd up a little bit more. Things are getting more frantic as it's coming to crunch time for the ceremony. Now, I'm going to ask you all to roll a quick check for this one.
Oh, quick check, right.
Woohoo!
Ooh! The slinking is working. 11.
Way! Very nice!
Now, I don't know whether or not it's just that I've chosen the correct dice tonight, but I also got 11. I've consistently rolled
really well.
Consistently rolled a 9 on this same die.
You're not rolling a d20, are you?
No,
that's what happens when you play a reincarnated elf.
Well,
I
exactly.
Suppose.
Yeah, I've got the years of experience, but yeah, I've got a +2 to quick, so that was an 11 altogether.
Very good.
I got a 7.
Oh, okay.
What's that mean, Grace? I thought that was good.
It's okay, but he does catch you. In sight. He sees you. He sees you running towards the apple cart, the fruit and veggies cart, and so he throws his knife in that direction, which then creates an avalanche of apples. So can I please get you all, you're all running in that direction. The apples are tumbling down. Please roll a quick check for me to avoid the apple avalanche.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, that was only a 7 for me, as I've swooped down past the... past the front of the fish market, directly into the path of the apples.
An 8 for Richard.
That's a 2 for Chester Eagleton.
Oh, Chester!
Chester Eagleton takes a stress point.
No!
Oh, no!
You guys, you have 1 hit point. What are you doing?
Okay.
Richard will also, if there's a small bit of fruit from the apple cart, we'll also just, if there's a little bit that he could just nibble on while he's going past, he's been told that maybe fruit is a thing that he should eat now.
Is an apple bigger than a chameleon at this point?
Oh, yeah, just like a little nibbler.
It is, but with the avalanche, some of the apples have smashed, and so there are some like kind of little apple fragments, so you can...
try a little apple fragment.
Yeah.
Hoot, 5-second rule, hoot.
Hoot, hoot. And talking of Clarence, the girls have begrudgingly left you as they have to go and get themselves ready for the wedding. They need to go take all the last rags out of their hair and everything. Things are starting to get a bit more, the final like finishing touches are starting to happen. Things are going in the right positions, tidying up. Everyone's starting to go and actually get dressed now. As your three companions are starting to approach Wizard Domino, you are free to come and join them, Clarence.
Yeah, I'll look mournfully at the girls leaving. Grateful to have had a bit of positive attention today. And I'll turn my head back the other way and flap up over over the avalanche of apples towards the party.
So you approach a kind of little gazebo covering... the musicians. You've got You've got the fiddler, which is our wizard Domino. You can also see somebody setting up an accordion next to him. There's some percussion being set up as well. And it looks like somebody's also turning up with a very large brass instrument, some sort of tuba or something.
Lovely.
But everyone's kind of busying themselves with getting set up for the wedding. Are you just going to go straight up to Wizard Domino?
Clarence will flap down towards Domino. What? Hooting. Ah, Domino, good day to you. It is I, Clarence. I am the familiar of Celia. Good day to find you here outside the shop. How are you today?
Now, I'm going to say that
can we
the
talk?
People... Yeah, I'm going to say all he hears is hoot, 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 because I'm going to say that it's only you can only hear your familiar.
Oh, no!
But
that happens anyway. Do it.
Absolutely. I think with him, he totally assumes everybody can hear him because he's so, you know, yeah. Got the gravitas. But Domino is quite taken with you, especially in this fetching new golden bow that you wear. And he does recognize you from being the companion of the young girl that came to his shop earlier on today, who he had to turn away. Oh, hello there. Aren't you charming? Aren't you handsome? Yes. And he gives you a little scritch on the belly. Oh, yes. Oh, where's your master gone, eh? Where's she gone? She went off in quite a tantrum, didn't she? Patience is a virtue, yes.
He flaps away from him and drops to the ground.
Oh, okay, all right. And as he kind of follows you round to see you flop to the ground, he does, in fact, see the three approaching from the fallen apple cart. Iggy! There you are! Who's a good little... familiar. I was trying to say. I think I was going to say chameleon. Who's my good little familiar? Come here. And he scoops you up, Iggy, and he's giving you so much attention. He's pulling all those faces that you're just like, oh my goodness, he's pulling that face now and this face. Oh goodness. What do you do?
I am a being of immense power and supremacy, but I cannot help but purr. Just a little bit more there. Just a little bit behind the ear. No, Dominic, listen, good fellow. I need your help. A friend of mine, a good friend who I've just met only half an hour ago, has been looking for somebody in the town. It's a new person. He's stolen something from him. They have a cart, and I give him the description. Is there any way you could help us, old boy?
Oh, well, I've been quite busy looking, getting ready for the wedding. There's not much time. And one of the brides is already meant to be here. Shania, she's not here. She's meant to be coming and giving me the sheet music. So if you could go find her for me, then I can see if I can keep an eye out for this cart for you. How about that?
I kind of hop up to, I don't know, somewhere on a stand nearby so that I'm slightly more eye level with Domino. And I kind of bow and like start squawking at him, not knowing that he can't understand me.
Oh my, not all bird song is enjoyable, is it? That's right. Is this your friend? You get her to calm down.
Chester, can you just ask, or it's more like a warning. I just want to let him know that the person that drives the cart is not a good person, that if they're coming here, or they're in town, they're probably going to start messing with other people. And if there is some kind of celebration going on today, then it's really imperative that he knows that it's not good, okay? That we need to find this guy before anything bad happens.
Right. I'll relay that as best I can. Domino, my friend, I think that perhaps that we need to think about this as a really serious situation right now.
My friend is telling me the person he's looking for is really, really bad. Really bad. And might be a problem for today's festivities. So I'm, you know, I mean, pardon me for thinking that interrupting your festivities, but I really feel like this is a priority over the sheet music.
Oh, yes, it sounds like a very bad person, no, doesn't he?
No, no, we're not playing that game anymore.
Bad, no. Really bad.
No. Domino, I'm being serious here.
Right. Okay, well, yes, I will go and see what's going on, but I mean, could you just do me this favour? Go on, go on. I'll make sure I distract the girls for you. You know, you go see about the sheet music. I will go round and I will see what I can find. I'll ask some questions. Okay.
I relay that to the team.
And he needs to transform me back as well. Have you told him that?
Oh yeah, and if he could transform Richard back, that would be great.
Okay.
Little lizard noises.
Twit twit to move.
Oh, God, it's a noisy bunch of animals. I can see why we usually have one familiar at a time.
Yes, just to let you know, this little fellow here was a falcon and now is a chameleon. He would like to be turned back, but I think for the sake of this, he needs a bit of character development. So maybe just hold off on for a bit. He needs to discover something about himself.
I totally agree with that, Jiggy Biggy Wiggy. I do. And I, I'm trying to have a magic-free day today. You know, it's a special day. So, yeah, you go find the thing and we'll let this thing have its character development.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds good. And I turn to Richard and go, he's working on it. Don't worry.
Good. Right. Good. As quick as he can.
Yeah, and you see Wizard Domino kind of start put down his violin, kind of quickly talk to one or two people, giving them the idea that he's going off to say if they see this person that you've described to him, and he is gonna go and have a look. Now, you know Shania, she is the next door neighbour of your family, and you are able to lead your group to Shania's home quite easily and quickly. Things have started to get quite quiet. You can kind of figure that most people have now got everything set up and they are going to get into their best dress. So this is kind of the quiet before the storm of the wedding, which is fast approaching. Now, as you all start to approach the door of Shania, you can hear some crying. Just a little... Where's it gone? Where could it be? I don't know where it is. The front door is open. What would you like to do?
Go inside, have a look.
Chester, are you more familiar with the people that live here?
Have I like met them in the street before? The people who live here. And meowed at them and asked for cuddles.
For sure. And I think there's a lot of people who also think you're their cat because like to go and get multiple. As much tuna as you can. I mean,
he's sixth in a Sid.
Yeah. Obviously, Shania is a next door neighbor. She knows that you're not her cat, but she kind of feels like you're almost her cat. Like, you know, she's really close to you.
Okay, Chester, I think you're up. You got to go in there. You got to comfort this poor thing. The rest of us try to find this sheet music. Is that what we were after?
Oh, yes, sheet music. And we need to find what she's lost. She might have lost something very important to her, like a spoon.
Maybe she lost the sheet music.
Yeah. Chester, do your best cat thing.
Yes, please look after your pets. They all need a bit of love and attention.
Don't worry. Never, ever... have I ever been able to not charm the socks off these people? And I will go inside and meow my butt off. I want cuddles.
So you don't have to go that far into the house to find Shania in a kind of a front room that has been turned upside down. She is a shorter human with mahogany skin, has the most perfect afro you could imagine. She is She's got some beautiful bridal jewellery already in place. She's wearing a kind of orangey gold dress with kind of pink and red detailing, kind of suiting the theme of all the beautiful bunting you've seen outside. She looks so stunning, but her face is tear-streaked. She is quite clearly distraught. And beside her is her tall, what you can assume is her wife-to-be, tall wife, a half-orc with slate-grey skin, poker-straight opal hair, wearing kind of the opposite of the color scheme. So where Shania's dress is more strong in the oranges, then we have Lyra's dress is more strong in the pinks, and you can see her there comforting Shania as she is weeping and getting up and searching again and stressed. And where is it? Where? It was my grandmother's. It's so very important. And I need to wear it today. Today is ruined if I don't have it. And Lyra, are you sure you didn't mislay it? And Lyra's shaking her head and just going, no, I honestly don't know where it could have gone. I mean, it was down here on the table. I went out to have a short look whilst there was this traveling salesman going past, and I was like, well, I'll go and have a check and see what's going on there. But and then when I came back in, it wasn't there. But nobody came into the house. I didn't see anybody. And so you're witness to this, Iggy. I'm sorry, apologies, Chester.
Thank you.
You kind of see Lyra comforting Shania, and they just look distraught.
Mm.
You do see the sheet music on the side.
Okay. I'll just feel like, well, but also saying, guys, I think we overread the situation here.
Richard will start making his way in.
I'm just going to, meow, and then like I'll be like, I'm going to make a distraction. Just you guys come in and take the sheet music, please. Meow, and I'll like go into the corner, like hop up and like start purring against some like curtains or something and try and make myself as adorable as possible.
Chris, can you give me a clever check, please?
Mm-hmm.
See if you can kind of distract them enough.
Yep. That's going to be an 8.
Okay. Yeah, they know you. They like you. Shania is pretty distraught, but Lyra, on seeing you, is just like, oh, okay, well, you know, this might cheer up. So she kind of scoops you up and goes, look, it's Iggy. Try to calm down. Breathe. Stroke Iggy. It's okay. So, whilst they're distracted, I would like to get a sly check from those of you that are trying to get the sheet music.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before I do a sly check for the sheet music, have we heard the conversation? We've heard, like, that
I'd
they've
say,
got something.
I'd say, yeah. It's a sunny day. The windows are open. They've been searching everywhere. So you overheard all of that conversation.
So before going for the sheet music, can Richard have turned to Ruana and Clarence and just had a little brief interlude?
Absolutely, please do.
Right, okay, I've seen this sort of behaviour before. This happens when they've lost a spoon. So, we need to find her spoon.
Okay.
And then she will be happy, okay? It's very important.
Richard, okay. I believe your Oren Quill is showing... I don't understand. A spoon? Why
the biggins get very upset when they think they're about to have a spoon and then they don't get it.
I don't understand how a spoon is relevant to the sheet music.
I understand very much. Richard, I just don't think that is actually what's happening here.
No, but she's very upset.
Yes,
so
she
she's
is, and
lost
her spoon. I understand. And it, like my companions get very upset when they can't even attempt the spoon,
yes.
To get a spoon. That's when they're the most upset. But
so
if we can find
her spoon?
No, I think she's lost something else. I think something has been taken from her by by
the
traveling salesman, okay?
He's taken the spoon.
He's taken her precious item. Yes, you can call it a spoon if you like.
Yes, okay, yeah, well, right. That's what we'll go with. Yeah, well, sure.
Sure. Yes, spoon. Understood.
Traveling
yes.
salesman's taken the spoon.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We can fix it.
It doesn't look like a spoon, though. I think it might be some kind of jewel or something wearable.
Something. We must decide what we're doing quickly because we are searching for one thing or another, and we don't have a lot of time.
I think let's grab the sheet music now, and then maybe let Domino know that this situation.
Yes, agreed.
Understood, and that we can fix it.
Okay, all at once, or
let's go. Let's move. Let's
okay, try. Yeah, sure. All at once. Through the window.
Are you doing this quick or are you doing this slyly?
Quick.
I think quick.
Quick. Okay. All right. Yeah, roll me some quick checks, please.
Nope. Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Not good.
I rolled a one. Do I add my plus two or have I rolled my... How does this work?
I'm going to say because it's what you've... Let me double check the rules.
Yeah. Please let be no critical failures on a D10 dice. That's a bit too frequent.
Well, it's whether the stress happens.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, no.
But a plus surely would add on to his dice roll.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel like I think it's what you've rolled.
Yeah.
And it's equal to... So yep. I'm going to say... Richard breaks.
Yep.
No.
The feet are so big. Oh, my God.
Richard's just going to go over on his back. He's going to sort of squirm with his little feet up in the air. And he's suddenly freaked out by being in the house with near the I guess there are big feet on these two women in here. And he's...
Yeah. I'd say that you start to squeak and it's certainly... even though Chester has been doing a very good job whilst you were having your conversation to distract them, they are starting to get a bit suspicious of what commotion might be going on in the corridor.
Oh, no.
I hear that commotion and start rolling on my back, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. I'm so adorable. I'm so cuddly.
Roll me a clever check.
Yeah. I rolled a 5 for my quick check to fly in and try and grab the sheet music.
I got a 4, so not...
Oh! Okay.
Two birds suddenly bumping into each other.
I'm going to say, you both go to, like, take off and you just both skew it that you bump into each other and basically, like, just fall to the top, which is what is increasing our little chameleon's stress as these two big birds, like, clomp down next to him.
Predators!
You see how much distress he is in. Are you going to try and calm him down?
I think the wisest choice is to divide and conquer. One person stays, the other goes and gets sheet music.
You're leaving me!
Okay, Clarence, you go. I'm just going to talk to Richard real quick, okay?
Okay, I'm off! Okay.
Chris, did you give me the result of that clever check? Sorry.
No, I rolled an 8 plus a 1, so that's a 9.
Okay, yeah, you've kept them distracted. Just.
Okay, Richard. Okay, hello, Richard. Hi.
It's a hawk.
Hey, listen.
It's a big hawk. It's a big hawk.
It's okay. Remember that you are also a big bird, okay? Not right now, but you are a big bird.
I'm a big
bird. You're a big bird. Who's a big bird?
I'm a big bird. I'm a big bird.
You're the big bird. You're the biggest bird.
I'm a big bird.
Yeah,
I'm a brave falcon. I'm a brave falcon.
Exactly. You are a hunter. You are a predator.
I can find the mouse.
Yeah, you
I can get
that
the
mouse.
Duck.
You can get the duck? Okay, yeah.
No. All my big ones, they're all by themselves. I'm not there to look after them. They're in a big city by themselves.
They're in a big city. Yeah, but where are you? Where are you? Feet on the floor. Feet on the floor. Okay.
Feet on the floor.
That's it.
I have powerful wings. I have the most incredible eyes.
You do. Yeah, you do.
I'm unmatched.
What color were your eyes?
Brown.
Brown eyes. Yes. Oh, nice. Why don't you try turning brown like your eyes?
Brown.
Concentrate
brown.
on your. Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's it. I mean, that's kind of blue, but okay. That's nice. Okay, we're going red. That's closer. Okay, we're getting there.
Meanwhile, Daryl, can you roll me a second quick check? You've kind of, as soon as Ruana's gone to calming Richard, you've gone to swoop in, and what did you get?
A 3.
So
it's a 1 plus 2.
It's a really, the problem that happened to you before is kind of, you thought it was because you bumped into Ruana, but actually it's, you just can't get the big enough wingspan here in the corridor. This is not, it's not made for owls, really. And I'm going to say that the commotion of the flapping is what starts to bring the two women out in kind of just a, distracted, like, what's going on? How are you feeling, Richard? Are you calming?
I think, yeah, through the assistance of Ruana, and I think Richard has eventually found a brown in his coloration, and that has started to calm him down a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So as the women kind of curiously come through round, they see two birds of prey, one with like just its wings, the owl with it and far, like kind of just not being able to fully expand their wings. There's kind of what looks like a kind of lump, but it's the same color as the floor, which is also brown, so it's quite like as the floorboarding, so
and
okay.
slightly vibrating
and they see this other bird, and so they start to shoo you out of the front door. Like, come on, get out of here! Look, what are you doing? Like the big tall orcish lady with the opal hair. She is hurrying you out of there. Just like, get out of here! Get out of here!
to cause another distraction, Iggy jumps onto the opal hair woman and starts like getting tangled up in the hair.
Iggy, what are you doing? Iggy, stop it!
I'm going to try and scoop Richard up in my talons again, like fly straight out the door and try to do like a big swoop of the house to make him feel like he's flying.
I'm in the air. I am a predator. I am a killing machine. I am king of the sky. I am the greatest evolutionary creation.
In this chaotic moment, as Lyra is trying to get the cat out of her hair, as we've got the chameleon flying around on the falcon, and everyone just trying to get out. There is a small girl knocks on the door. She is looks about 10 years old, a half hobgoblin orc with dusty complexion, scraggly black hair, black witchy robes that are clearly too big for her. And obviously Clarence instantly recognizes her and she scowls at you. She gives it the biggest scowl, humphs, and says, I'm trying to decide what voice to do for her.
Myra.
Oh, man.
Actually.
Hello. I've been sent by Wizard Domino to get the sheep music. I am assisting him today, even though he's not going to teach me magic today, which I think is really unfair, actually. May I have the sheep music? Thank you. Why are you crying? To Shania, who is just bewildered right now at all the confusion that's been happening. And sorry, Daryl, are you still in the house or did you fly just out onto just in front of the house?
I don't think I left the house.
No, so she kind of...
Oh, shoot, everyone, like, oh, right.
She was shooing you all out of the house. Yeah. Whether you decided to stay or not, I think I slightly missed that.
Okay. You could still
be in the vicinity near the front door and stuff, or it's whether you want to be in between.
Yeah.
So let's say so when she shooed you, so you're kind of on the, there's like a railing outside the house, and that's where your master saw you. Your master's daughter saw you and gave you the humph. we then Shania just almost slightly becoming like, for a moment she's forgetting how upset she is as she kind of hands over the sheet music and kind of then goes back to her wife-to-be, trying to help her detangle the cat from her hair. So you see this half hobgoblin orc say, thank you very much, and then look at you again.
I look right back at her and kind of again turn my head 90 degrees as if a human would raise their eyebrows. I kind of cock my head.
As these two are having a little stereo match, can I swoop down towards the sheet music and use my pocket magic Butterfingers to make her drop it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you can.
Can I catch it?
So, I'm going to try and swoop so that, like, Richard can get it, like, because Richard's in my talons at the moment.
Richard is
so hoping that Richard
to,
can, like, yeah. grab it as it falls from her hand.
I think Richard is going to hang on with his front legs and use his back legs like he used to use his talons.
I'm an eagle! I'm a falcon!
I'm a falcon!
I am king of the sky!
and I'm going to say... because you've used that spell, that you are successful in diving down.
Hey.
You're trying to pick up the sheet music.
The sheet music, yeah. with Richard's chameleon back feet.
And this is where you see this young girl looking, oi, come back here. That's my job. And she's going to...
Selica.
She turns as she hears the Selica from you, Clarence, and go, you're a mouldy old bird.
Oh, we're back here. I left you behind because I thought you had learnt your lesson. I see still that you need cooling off. So be it then. You are still in need of a lesson.
And before you even finish, she starts running off. She's like, not listening, la 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 la, not listening.
I flap my running. Wings and I cast mist.
Ooh, just because...
Just got
little git.
She hears the flap of wings behind her and kind of turns back for a moment and just sees this mist around the owl and just like, gross, and carries on running after the falcon.
Oh, she can still see it through the mist.
They're running after us.
Oh, you were casting the mist on...
Yeah, sorry, I should have made that clear. Casting the mist around her so she can't see Richard and Rana.
Retcon.
Pocket magic retcon.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Okay, yeah, so she as you cast mist, she is just suddenly obscured and not able to see where Rana and Richard are. And she goes... Oh, Clarence, why do you have to do this?
Because you need to respect your elders. I am a seasoned adventuring familiar, and you are the daughter of a great wizard placed under my care. You should have listened to me this afternoon.
Seasoned is just another word for old.
You run your mouth, show no respect. Of course, this is where you are. On, you have learnt no magic, for you lack patience. No.
She just starts walking. She's not quite sure what direction, but she is just like full on like Kevin and Perry, sort of grown into the mist.
Go ahead and strut. You still will fail to learn in your miserable mood.
If this is where the monarchy is heading, count me out. Out of service, out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about.
And I would say by this time, the brides have managed to detangle Iggy from their hair, and they kind of shoo Iggy out of the door as well, closing the door and trying to get themselves sorted. Rowana and Richard, are you heading towards the music?
Yeah, Richard is just, as we fly away, just going, I'm king of the sky! We're king of the sky!
character development.
it's okay. You can be king of the sky. You do you, sweetie.
We're both king of the sky.
Okay, we're both king of the sky. Sure. Okay.
And as the mist starts to clear, you can see that guests are starting to arrive. Rowana and Richard deliver the music, and as Clarence and Iggy start to catch up, all of you start to hear a sort of buzzing noise, like wings that are fluttering so fast, almost like hummingbird wings. And Rowana, this sounds very familiar to you.
Yeah, her eyes suddenly like proper predator hawk eyes start narrow down and scan the horizon, scan the crowd, looking for the source of this noise.
So as you're darting your eyes around, I think because you are so focused on this creature, this has been your quarry for the last 26-27 hours. As soon as you hear it, you are able to zone in and you see this little hamster-like Vulpatinga with its little antlers and little wings on the far corner of the village green, heading off in a direction. What do you do?
I just, in the most serious tone that I can, say, "Turnip." And I shoot across this, like I launch. I don't know if I'm even still. I'm not even aware if I'm still holding Richard, but I like
Richard's hanging
blast
on
my wings and like rocket my way across toward where he's going.
And that is where we're going to wrap up the episode.
Yeah! Amazing.
That was great. Oh my god. So good.
Thanks for being so nice to me,
done.
Everyone.
That was good fun, buddy.
First one.
Amazing, Grace.
Let's see what happens in the exciting conclusion.
Oh my gosh.
You have been listening to A Familiar Problem, Rowana and Company, with Grace Kelly Miller as your game master, David Knight as Rowana, Daryl Bailey as Clarence, Ben Galpin as Richard, and Chris Watts as Chester Iggleton. Original music by David Knight and expertly edited by Pippa Beckford. Make sure you're subscribed, and if you enjoy the show, we'd love it if you'd rate and review No Small Roles. Thank you for listening. Anon for now.
Anon!
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.